Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome back to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus, if you've been here before, but my name is Cliff regardless.
Regardless, that's a good name, isn't it?
Good name, isn't it?
It's a very good name. And my name is Brett Happenstance.
Brett Happenstance, good. I like it.
Yeah.
And how are you, Brett Mr. Happenstance? How are you?
Mr. Heavenstance. You should say it like that with a little bit of a lisp. That's how I like people to say it.
Okay.
Mr. Heavenstance.
You have to do that Bruce Forsyth impression as well. Facial impression. Yes. Nobody else can see it.
Well, I just imagined myself as Brucey saying my own name there. So that's what I was. Good evening, Mr. Heavenstance.
How have you bumped into him?
Yeah, he's always about the place, you know. I bump into many a spectre.
No, I just saw him in a charity shop at the Nook. So he said
well.
You're a bit rough. Are you drinking the cider, or is that kind of Lucozade?
It's out the window. Lucozade. It's out the window. Well, you know, temporarily out the window. I've chucked it out the window.
I was very confused about what you meant by that.
You've never heard that terminology before.
No, I thought, where you're reaching to where the drink was, I thought you were saying it's out the window, like you've got your drink on a windowsill or something outside.
Yeah, just cool it on the windowsill. I don't have the luxury of being on a balcony like you,
mate,
so I couldn't do it.
It's sweltering. It's unbearable. My drink today is I've put a tequila in a glass with an ice pop to melt in it.
What flavour was the ice pop?
A lemon one.
Nice.
Thought it would go.
Nice. Hey, that's a good idea, that, isn't it? You should be on Blue Peter or something, you, couldn't you?
But today, kids, we're going to teach you how to make the most of alcohol in hot climates.
how to cool mum and dad's drinks. It is a very good idea. I like it. I'm a bit under the weather. A bit fluey, I didn't know. I was going to do a COVID test, but I don't think we've got any.
What's the point?
I suppose it's just.
I've gone beyond COVID tests now. Like, what's the point? What'll happen
course,
if you've got it? I don't know.
As my mother-in-law calls it, the COVID.
The COVID, obviously.
The COVID.
I presume you've had plenty of time just to laze around on your arse, which is a perfect scenario for you.
No, I haven't. I've been working and shit like that. So, and prior to this, I've been trying to get fit again and running and all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's where it is.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's saying, don't bother with that, please.
Wait, I'm absolutely massive. When I come over in a couple of weeks, you'll see I'm expanding. I'm like Dr. Robotnik.
Unfortunately, you don't have the fetching moustache, though.
I don't have the facial hair, of course, but, you know, who does?
Can I jump on your head to defeat you?
Of course.
When you come over?
It's the only way. It's the only way.
It's the only way to get you, isn't it?
This is quite nice, this drink, by the way. I've just had a sip of it. It's all right.
Of course it is.
It's very quite pleased with yourself.
Yes, that's who you should be, putting a nice spot in there. I mean, that's wonderful. Great
idea.
Watch
any of the Glastonbury's at the weekend?
You know what? I didn't watch any. I didn't watch any at all. I heard Guns N' Roses were good.
Nobody likes Axl
what's
Rose,
the thing what's the thing right of why do people do this now where like they watch Glastonbury and they complain about the person that's on, whoever it is, they know exactly what they're going to be doing. Do you know what I mean? And they just moan about it.
He's not very good now, is he? He's ancient. He's ancient. He's
yeah,
obviously
of course.
Obviously he's not as good as he was then, but Actually, Elton John was class. Tell you what wasn't class. I mean, obviously, he's still got the in the club style for all of his songs, which is like, just got to get over that. That's just what he sings like now. But like, I don't know however long he played, an hour and 20 minutes or whatever. It's just absolute banger after banger. It was like, just class.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Brilliant.
He's great.
He brought out a couple of guests to help him on songs.
Did he? Who did he have?
Well, there's a band called Gabriels who he endorses. You know how he likes to endorse certain musicians that are younger than him?
Does he, Cliff, does he still get the releases of the week on CD?
He still gets all of the all of the records every week, I think, and notes all down the charts. So the singer from them came on to do Are You Ready for Love? He's like kind of big gay black guy. I hope that's appropriate language to use.
The Doctor Who? The new Doctor Who, was he?
Probably. Or James Bond. So he came out, he was good. Before he was going, Elton John was going, so I was inspired to write the song Philadelphia Freedom by all of the Philly soul that are like bands like the Drifters. What am I talking about? Not the Drifters. He's like arguing with himself while he's trying to tell his story.
Correcting himself on stage.
What am I talking about? He was just looking at one of his band members, and after a while he went, the Spinners, that's what I mean. What am I talking about? The Drifters. I'm like really angry. His band is like, he was going, this is amazing.
There's no wrong with the Drifters, though, isn't it?
He's banter with the crowd. He was like genuinely like, this is amazing. It looked like fucking, I don't know, like about 500,000 people that watching it or something. And he was like, look, really, like he was loving it. Like he couldn't believe it. It's the first time he played Glastonbury, I think. It's his last ever gig, apparently. It's funny, like, you know, like all the jokes about being like angry and, oh, you know, that documentary and stuff. And oh, he just like snaps at people and stuff. So he's good. Like, even he's like, thanks to the crowd, and his bits to the crowd were a bit like, come on, clap. Yes, that's good. Come on. Yes. Just like, mate, you don't sound very thankful at all. It sounds angry as fuck. But he's good. So anyway, and some fella came on, sang one of his own songs. Bit weird. A lass came on to sing, Don't Go Breaking My Heart with him, in which he got out from behind the piano and shuffled around the stage. So, so weird. He's not mobile. Like, I'm not surprised it's his last ever gig.
No, I saw him walk on stage.
Yeah.
And there was like clips of that of people taking the piss and stuff. But he's an old man.
I know. I mean, like, what is he, 78 or something? Like, fucking hell. And then, but then the singer from The Killers came out, Brandon Flowers, to do Tiny Dancer.
Oh, yes.
And my God, that man has a smooth face. Like, so smooth. And he has
a smooth face.
A brilliant white set of teeth. Really big, really big. Very noticeable. And he can't really sing.
You would have thought he would have ironed some lines in his face. You should have ironed some lines in his face.
Should have drawn them on like Love Troy.
Yeah, he should have done. That's what he should have done. But sadly, I didn't see any of the
like, honestly, that was good. But it's weird. It was like split in two halves. Like old people. Cat Stevens was class. Yeah. Elton John, Guns N' Roses. And then like, and Rick Astley. I just watched his set today. He was class. He did Highway to Hell.
I saw him playing the drums.
Did you see him playing the drums to that?
Yeah, I saw that.
It was class.
I saw that.
And then the other half.
All round musician,
like, kinda,
there, Rick Astley.
Oh, he was good. They bet they fucking love him at Ben's Park.
Aye, if only we could get him.
But then the other half was like young, kind of like electro pop bands, like, but much more poppy than you would think of for Glastonbury. Like, wasn't like indie band kind of thing. It was like last singer with like keyboards and stuff. So it was a bit different to other ones, but I watched a lot of it. It was enjoyable. It's always nice to watch it from the safety of your sitting room.
It is. So you're not in a tent. I know, like that. That's a good thing. Hey, Cliff, I have dug some stuff out for you.
Have you?
Off Facebook. Obviously, Because obviously it's transfer season, isn't it? So on Facebook, favorite, you get all the transfer rumors and that.
Uh-huh. My favorite part mm-hmm. of all football, of course.
Aye, but the thing is, these days it's always like foreign agents who are getting involved, and unfortunately, a lot of it is lost in translation. If you've ever read the transfer rumors on Facebook, so I'll read some out here. See if they make any sense to you.
Do you want me to guess who?
So this is the first
about?
One. Obviously, you don't have to guess. No, you just listen to the craziness of what the rumors are. Yes. Just listen, and respond. Yeah, that will be fine. That will be fine. So this is obviously they're all Sunderland related because I'm not looking at any other teams. But
okay, yes.
So this is the first one. Loaned to Auxerre. Is that how you say that?
Auxerre.
That French team that begins with an A. Auxerre. That's it. Yeah. Loaned to Auxerre for this. I don't know. Who knows? For the second half of the season, Matthias Albine, 20. Under contract with Rennes until 2025, arouses the greed of several clubs, including Stade de Reims. What okay. do you think of him arousing the greed?
I think like all of that stuff is like unnecessary. I want to know 20-year-old attacking midfielder who scored 5 goals last season could sign for Sunderland for £1 million. Yeah. I'm not really bothered, like, how long his contract is at his parent club and all of that kind of stuff. I don't care about it.
Nah. Obviously, just the fact that he's arousing the greed of several clubs.
I mean,
clubs
I'll have to have a look at him and see if he does the same to me.
Second one. Here you have a treat for your Sunderland fanatical eyes. The next jewel of South America should not go. Great future at Venezuela. I don't know who that's about. But there you go. It doesn't mention the name. It does not mention the name. This one is incredibly long-winded, right? But yeah. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. So I'll read it out here. The cast has it in the folder of Norwich City of the Championship in England. The player has been followed for a long time in that country, since Sunderland also made views and probes for the crossed striker, who is a fixed card for Benazzaro and for Ariel Holloran in the strip box.
What on earth is that about? Sounds like a 3-2-1 quiz.
Exactly. You kind of work it out. So there you go. Lost in translation football rumours. That's what they are.
Hot. I'm absolutely dripping with sweat here. They're funny. I like them. I messaged you last night just saying, what words did I say?
Oh, yes. You sent us Barry McGuigan and I thought he was dead. So I came in.
I would have said, all right.
I had a look at the news in that. But gladly, Barry's fine. Is he?
I don't know. Well, that's what I wanted to just have a word with you about. Like, he was everywhere, wasn't he, in the 80s? Still
he is. I was trying to prompt
you to do some research. See what he's up to.
I mean, he's a boxing manager now. Or trainer, as they call them. His son is a boxing manager as well.
Okay. Uh-huh. Has he still got the tash?
Terry McGuigan, his son's called.
Terry McGuigan, he
He's not. I don't think he does have the moustache.
Oh, well, maybe. Can you post a picture on the Twitter account so we can all see what he looks like now, then?
Why would you want us to do that? I'm not doing
that.
Well,
I'm asking you.
Why are you asking us about Barry McGuigan? Gwiggers?
Just wondering.
Why don't you do your own research if you want to know about
I messaged you a while ago about something and I said, remind us to mention this, and it was months ago. But are you aware of this small man that seems to be like a fighter or something? He's called Hezbollah or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Hezbollah?
I don't think it's that.
Are they terrorists, are they?
I'm not going to wait. But I'm going to say yes.
Are they the Israeli people, Hezbollah?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But do you know who I mean?
No.
It's a small, like, little kind of midget kind of fella.
A midget?
Is that allowed? Probably not. I don't know what he is. I'm confused. I was hoping for some answers, Brett, but I've only got more questions.
How have you got Barry? Have you gone from Barry McGuigan to this midget man?
I think he's a fighter.
Well, that doesn't, just because you send us Barry McGuigan doesn't mean that I'm going to know who this midget fighter is.
I messaged about this lad ages ago.
Is he a joke, fella?
Well, I think he's serious, but like it's hard to tell because you assume he's a joke. Small. I'm googling small fighter. Hasbulla. Yeah, who is? Who the fuck is Hasbulla? Who is the little guy Hasbulla? Do you want a synopsis of who he is?
You can't do. But one second, I was looking for the boxing lunch on me dodgy box, and it was midgets who were fighting. They weren't naked. No, they weren't naked. Gladly, but they were knocking 7 pounds out of each other.
So who's Hasbulla Magomedov? Grew up in Makhachkala, Republic of Dagestan, Russia, and is the son of a plumber. He became extremely popular after a video of him went viral on TikTok in 2021. He has a genetic disorder that resulted in his small stature and high-sounding voice. Although it has not been officially confirmed, it's believed he has a form of dwarfism. He has been posting content on Instagram since November 2020, but only went viral on TikTok in 2021. He now has over 8 million followers on Instagram. In October 2022, he signed a contract with the UFC. He is believed to be around 20 years old.
The UFC? Mm-hmm. Believed? I mean, the poor fella. I mean, you've just mentioned that he's got something wrong with him that makes him small. But why does that in turn also make his voice squeaky? I mean, the poor fella.
Maybe it's too small. That's sugar, like larynx. I don't know.
Maybe God knows. But you know, that's just not on, is it?
He's majorly popular with the MMA community. After several videos of him went viral, he earned the nickname Mini Khabib after he recreated Khabib Nurmagomedov's iconic UFC weigh-in.
Well, you know, well. I don't particularly sort of move in the MMA circle.
No, me neither. That's why I've been unsure about whether this guy is real or not.
I'm sure he's real, but you know, I'm just unaware of him. I think some might have shown us real, a video fella before.
Okay,
I know who you mean.
I'm gonna see if I'll send you a picture of him right now.
If it's the same guy, my son's
sending his
video.
Iconic win.
And I didn't get it, to be honest. I didn't get what was.
I thought you would have some answers for us, but
no. Yeah, again, like I say,
I tell you what, Brett, I'm just gonna stop asking you questions about fighters.
Great, okay then. I mean, it's for the best, isn't it? To be honest.
You know, I sent you a picture of him with another little fella.
Yeah, I've seen that fella before. Don't they look? They look very standoffish.
Well, they're getting ready for a fight.
Yeah, I know, but like they look like they don't want to, do they?
The guy, the like little, I'm talking about the guy.
The dad's
left.
Just turned up and he's breaking it up.
I think the dad's turned up and he's going, "Well, fucking fight him then."
I mean, is that what passes for entertainment these days? I mean, the only reason people are going to watch them fight is because they look like two little children fighting. And that's terrible, isn't it? That's the thing.
They
look very confused.
So someone else I've been up to, Brett. I went to see a Led Zeppelin tribute band.
Ooh.
Do you think that would be any good?
Is it good? It sounds good. It sounds like a right old time. Was it?
It was a good night. The singer was good. I'm not quite sure on the guitarist. I think he had big shoes to fill and he didn't quite get there.
Obviously. But, what was he called? Jimmy Book.
The full book. Oh, Jimmy Scribble. It was good night. I just went out with a few fellas. But one of the blokes I met for the first time.
Oh, you just went out with a few fellas, did you?
71-year-old bloke from Newcastle. And he saw them in 1971 at the City Hall when he was 14, he reckoned. He saw the tribute band, yeah.
Actual Led Zeppelin. Not this tribute band.
So yeah. The real one, he was like, so I can't wait.
By any chance, is he a devil worshipper, Cliff?
You know, I tell you what, he was a lovely bloke, but then at the end, end of the night, he started talking about how kids identify as cats in schools. And I went, I don't think this is true. I saw it in the Daily Mail. I don't think this is true. So
nah.
I thought he was a lovely fella, but he spoiled it a bit at the end of the night for talking about outrage at kids not even really saying that they're cats, but never mind.
Uh-huh. Well, you know,
one more thing I did. Forever. Have you seen this film, Megan?
Yes. Did you like dancers? It? I like the dancing.
I don't know, like the dancing's weird, isn't it? Like it's a strange thing to add in, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, it's
let's make it do some like, creepy dancing. And sing it.
It's like Chucky, isn't it? That's what it reminded me of. Very much like Chucky. Never seen them, no. You've never seen Chucky, have you not?
I assume it's the same because it's about a toy that comes to life and starts killing
exactly.
people.
Exactly. So. Yeah. But it was good, though. I liked it how it was sinister and it started walking like a spider, like The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And then
dancing. It had all of that kind of stuff in, didn't it? And then when his face gets ripped off and it's like evil robot face underneath.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, enjoyed that. I've been watching The Boys. That's what I've been
watching. Have you?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? It's ridiculous, but it's good.
It is ridiculous, but it's like a takeoff on like it's taking the piss out of America completely, isn't it?
Yeah. But and I think like many things, a lot of people probably look at the main man and think like that's good. You know what I mean? The one who's clearly a Nazi.
He's the biggest arsehole in the world. Him,
he's
he?
Brilliant. He's really good.
He is class. He's excellent. That's brilliant. Who plays him, Mike? But,
yeah.
He's just the biggest wanker in the world.
What do you think of Carl Urban's accent?
I like it. I like the way he just keeps calling people cunts.
Yeah, it's the best Cockney accent since Dick Van Dyke, I think.
It is.
Or Don Cheadle.
Yeah. He's good. I mean, I'd love it if they made New Dreadful with him in it, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. But there you go.
Oh, it was good when we watched that. Well, I'm glad you belatedly got into that. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. I think I've got two episodes to watch of this third season. So, yeah.
Third season just gets more daft. I think like,
yeah, there's a man with a giant penis, isn't there?
What do you think about the bit where the small man climbs up inside the fella for like gay sexy times, but then sneezes and becomes big again and explodes?
Yes, there's a lot of that going on, isn't there? It's
pretty good. All that.
It's funny, man. It's clever, isn't it?
It is, and also like slapstick and just stupid as well, but also clever. I like it. I like it. Well, Brett, this episode I asked you to listen to a band called the Go-Betweens. Did you listen to them?
I did indeed, yes.
Okay.
Three weeks ago or something.
Okay, well I made a little playlist on Spotify, not comprehensive by any means, just the 14 songs. Some of the biggest hits, biggest hits, but we didn't really have any, but that's what we'll get to. And a couple of solo things
than
as well.
40.
On that list, there's 14.
Sure, there was more than 14.
I'm looking at it right now, and it says 14 socks. So that's
fair enough. I'll give you that.
Do you want a synopsis?
Yes, go on then. I'm interested. Yes.
Okay. So the Go-Betweens were an Australian indie rock band. This is from Wikipedia, by the way. Formed in Brisbane, Queensland, in 1977. The band was co-founded and led by singer-songwriters and guitarists Robert Forster and Grant McLennan, who were its only constant members throughout the band's existence. Blah, 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 blah. They split up in 1987. No, they split up in 1989. And they got back together in 2000, but it was just the two main lads and some different people then. But then in 2006, Grant McLennan died of a heart attack. And then obviously the band split up because they were the only ones in it, really.
Yeah.
But they had Forster and McLennan both had solo careers, and Robert Forster continues to have a solo career. And he's a writer. And he's still going strong. And Grant McLennan and the band's work have been critically acclaimed during their career and posthumously, but never really got commercial success.
Yes, which is an odd one. They didn't have a top 50 single in either Australia, where they're from, or the UK, did they? Which is weird.
And it's weird for a band that didn't have any commercial or chart success at all for people to still talk about them or like them, I think, from the 80s.
Right, yes. Yeah, definitely. I've even got a bridge named after them, haven't they, in Australia?
Yes, in Brisbane. Had you heard of them before?
I had not. Oh, okay. So you put us onto these for the first time.
Okay. I
hadn't heard anything about them, and obviously just looking at them a little bit 3 weeks ago. What do you think? I liked some of them. Some of them I could take it or leave it type thing. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One song in particular, which you'd probably be able to guess which one it is, that I thought was amazing.
Street.
Can you guess which one?
Your Town.
It wasn't that one, no.
It was Love Goes On?
No, it was Catlin Kane. That's the one that I really
All right, like. okay. Ah, interesting. Uh-huh. It's not the poppiest one that they do.
No, all right, it's not the poppiest.
Uh-huh. Well, that apparently is the song that convinced the band, or Grant McLennan, Robert Forster, to like write proper songs. When they got to that one, he was like, right, let's stop talking about staff stream of consciousness lyrics and stuff like that. Let's actually try and write like kind of classic songwriting kind of things. And that's the song that did that. So interesting that that's the one that you think is the best, in your opinion. Still there?
Put one on again. I'm still there. I'm still here.
Okay.
If I was to put one on again, that would be the one that I'd put on. I like the bass line and stuff like that. And of the song, and there's a sort of acoustic-y bit at the start. I like it all, that song. So that's the one that stood out for me. How did you get into this band, Cliff?
I can't remember, but I must have just read about them in like a music magazine or something years ago. And I don't know everything about them, but when I say that, I haven't heard like all of their albums all the way through and all of their solo albums that they've got.
Yeah.
But I know that those two songs that I mentioned, like, are two of my favorite ever songs. Like, I will listen to them on repeat. I think they're both absolutely brilliant, like indie pop songs. I know that Andy Dawson of Athletico Mints, he's a big fan, and I chatted with him about them. And he put us on to a documentary that came out about them about 7 years ago or something. And the documentary is like great. It kind of really brings it to life. Like, you see them, because obviously when you listen to the songs, you don't really get what the band was about so much, or how they must have looked in the 80s and all of that. So that kind of puts it in a bit more perspective. And then there was a book by Robert Forster called Grant and I, about the band and about Grant McLennan, that's again just brilliant, and some of the film is kind of like taken from bits in the book. I really like his songwriting and his writing, and I think because of that I got into the band a little bit more. And Andy sent us the two later albums when they reformed, which I'd never heard before. And there's a couple of songs on that playlist that I put on there. But again, like, I've listened to those albums a couple of times. I'm not an expert in them. And I've got a couple of Robert Forster solo albums, but nothing of Grant McLennan. So the songs I put on the playlist from his solo stuff, I'd never really heard before. I just listened to a couple of them and stuck them on. So the two songwriters got very different styles, I think.
That's what I was going to say, totally different, aren't they? One's like this kind of extrovert fella. Obviously, that's Robert Forster, isn't it? And the other guy's singing like softer, more sensitive sort of songs, isn't he? But I do have a bone to pick with you about Robert Forster, because I did watch an interview with him where he said that he dyed his hair grey or something like that in the 80s. And the reason that he dyed his hair grey was he was a great lover of Dynasty actor John Forsythe. What's all that about? Like, is that a joke?
Why have you got a bone and pick with me about
that? I thought you'd know about it. That's either one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Right? Because it's a good joke. Oh, that's just fucking mental, isn't it?
It's probably a joke.
It should be.
Also, I think like the one of those bands where, you know, two songwriters, quite slightly different styles. Obviously, you get throughout the ages the new Lennon and McCartney, and I think that these guys had that thrown at them a bit, but just because of the nature of like the songwriting partnership, I think I don't really think the songs are anything like the Beatles at all in terms of how they style. If there are, Grant McLennan songs are a little bit more melodic and maybe a kind of mix of John Lennon, Paul McCartney kind of things. Don't think Robert Forster's or anything like the Beatles. But when I first heard of them, I knew Grant McLennan had died. I think I assumed he was the more... I knew one was meant to be a bit more crazy than the other one. And I think I assumed, well, I did assume he was the one that was a bit more out there and he had died because of drinking drugs or whatever. It's actually quite sad, very sad what happened, what his life was like. If you read up a little bit more about them, he's very insecure and they were both seeing... Yeah. They were both seeing people in the band, so they had this like kind of Fleetwood Mac-y thing going on as well.
All right.
They kind of got serious when they got this drummer in called Lindy Thompson, and Robert Forster was seeing her. She was like this kind of 6 foot outgoing punk feminist, and I think he got a bit of his kind of wearing of dresses and shit like that from her and doing his hair silly. And Grant McLennan was seeing they brought a fiddlist.
There's a fiddle in there, isn't there? There's a wee fiddle in there.
He ended up seeing her, and a lot of the songs are about her. But like, I don't think he was a very good boyfriend in the fact that he was incredibly needy and jealous and stuff. And some of the songs you can tell, like, well, I think he didn't talk to her, but he just used to write songs about her or about their relationship. And apparently, as soon as the band split up, she left like that day. So she must have been like desperate to leave, but didn't want to do it for the band or whatever. And I think he went into like alcoholism and stuff like that. But he's also always really insecure. He's kind of like balding, right? Like he's got receding hair. And apparently, he was super conscious about that. And obviously, Robert Forster's got this like long kind of like foppish kind of fringe and stuff. And it, I think he was always felt in the shadow of him a little bit because he was so outgoing.
Yeah, but it's never a good idea to sort of go out with your bandmates, is it? I mean, it never ends well, does it?
I don't think it ever seems like there's some good songs come out of it, but I don't think anybody's personal life is any better. For
no, it's not. It's definitely not a good idea. I didn't know about that, but I knew that they brought the two ladies in and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because Robert Forster was saying that as soon as they added the fiddle player, it added sort of a little bit extra to the band when they were playing live and all that kind of stuff.
I think it was a weird one because they moved to London and they were like so like highly thought of and stuff. But every time they record an album, they're like, this is going to be the one that breaks through. And they record like Sweet to Your Town and think, oh, this is a surefire hit, and it doesn't happen. So they keep getting like kind of dropped and then a new label and then it doesn't work out again. And I think they were pretty like destitute in London. If you read the book, it goes into a lot of detail about that. There's one bit like also the other musicians were kind of just like session players. So the bassist, one of the bassists says he couldn't afford to like to buy food when he was in the band. Like he was basically like just starving, couldn't afford to pay bills or anything, so he left, and then they replaced him with a guy who didn't even like the band, said he didn't like their music.
He just joined, did he?
Just joined. Like, all right, I'll do it. Nice. I don't like the music in it.
I hate you, but I'll do it.
So yeah, they were always like bad. They were knocking around early mid 80s in London. Very similar to like Lloyd Cole and the Commotions and stuff like that, kind of very literate in terms of their lyrics and very clever in terms of the way the songs are structured and stuff.
So Cliff, why do you think it didn't quite happen for them? Do you think
I think they're a bit like too clever for their own good. It's a bit like, you know, Field Music from Sunderland, who used to go to college where I went and stuff. Like,
yeah,
they're super critically acclaimed. And they bring out their own albums, produce their own albums and stuff like that. The tour, and I'm sure Get By, but they've never had a hit, really. They had, like, Prince retweeted one of their songs, like, just before he died, saying it was, like, amazing. Like,
yeah.
So people obviously like them and like it, but they've never had a hit. And I think it's a similar thing, like, it sounds mean to say they're too clever for their own good, because I love both of these bands, but they're just, like, it's not really what charts want a lot of the time, or what the general public wants. So I think it's that, like, the sensitive songs are maybe a bit too sensitive. I don't know about what you think, but the lyrics are quite, like, on the nose, like, they're quite hard to listen to, I think, sometimes. And
I think that's true. It's not something that you can put on and just immediately get.
Yeah.
I think the only one that really was like that was that Catlin Kane one for me.
And then I think Robert Forster ones are like Grant McLennan's probably got, like, a nice voice. Not an amazing voice. I think the songwriting carries both of them, but Robert Forster's voice certainly isn't very conventional for, like, a pop band. So I think on the ones that he was writing, then maybe just, like, they didn't really click with him. And also the way they made the albums, like, six of my songs, six of his songs, first six were mine, second six is his. Like, maybe that isn't, like, great for a cohesive album either, you know? Like, it's not really a collaborative effort. So I think there's a few things that went into it.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I love them, but again, I'm not, like, super, super fan, but I was really interested to see what you thought. I think you were saying it's a shame that they never had a hit, and I agree with you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, especially in the era of hits, the 80s and stuff, wasn't it? You know what I mean? That's how people think, you know, if you have a hit, then you're a decent band, which is a bit harsh and not always right, is it?
No. I think
I think they probably deserve to.
About that era. I think you're right about that.
I mean, that's how people, you know, regard success, obviously, isn't it? You know, if you've had a hit or what have you. And if they haven't, then... And the odd thing for me was to read that they hadn't had one in their native Australia as well, which is a bit odd.
It's a bit odd. I think they left early. So I don't know whether the people in Australia, like, they left before anybody, like, mainstream knew who they were, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it is weird. Also, like, I think you can imagine, like, some of these songs, that Catlin Kane, I think, is very similar to, like, early REM. There's a little bit of, like, post-punky in the bass line and stuff like that on the guitar at the beginning, like you say. So it's weird, like, you'd think, like, American, like, kind of college radio would like them as well. And I think that's where Grant McLennan went when he was doing his solo stuff. I think he was in America for that stuff, and I can kind of see that there's a big spectrum of college indie rock in America that I think they would fit into. But I don't know, I just bizarre that of all of the bands that I've ever had hits and all of that, that these guys didn't have one yet. There's people who absolutely love them, like rave about them and want to hear and read anything that they've done. I'm not quite that far, but I do think it's bizarre that I think that they're much more worthy of people's attention than a lot of bands out there.
I agree. I mean, the thing with me just coming in, and this is the first time that I've heard them, my mind's automatically going, well, that sounds a bit like The Cure, and that sounds a little bit like The Smiths. The thing. Obviously, that wouldn't be the case, you know, if I had listened to them in the 80s.
So
that's the other thing as well. But I mean, I've said, Cliff, I enjoyed listening to all of them, but just that particular song, that Catlin Kane, that's the one that stood out for me.
Yeah, I've just listened to it again when we had our little break there. It's a brilliant song.
Uh-huh.
Really, really good. Also, it doesn't really sound like much of the other stuff that they've done. So
that is the thing. It is different, isn't it? It's about his farm or something like that, isn't it? That's what I was reading.
Yeah, like these songs are quite autobiographical. A lot of them, like, they're not that abstract. They're always quite dealing with stuff that they're both dealing with, but one in a bit more of a sincere way than the other one. But anyway, if anybody hasn't heard of them, 16 Lovers Lane is the, like, the kind of poppy album with those songs that I mentioned on. That's normally the one that people like. But there's about 8 albums, and there's a couple of best ofs. Like, you can listen, you can find your own way, I'm sure, because you might prefer the stuff that Brett likes to what I like.
You never know.
And Robert Forster's still going, new albums, so listen to his stuff as well. But yes, I would like a quiz, please.
Good. I'm glad that you would. Hey, this quiz is called Australia, Cliff.
What's it about then?
Who knows? Question number one. What is the oldest, flattest, and driest inhabited continent in the world?
Not sure.
Good guess.
The oldest and flattest continent
and driest.
Did you say oldest? Is that what really wanted to say?
I did, yes. The oldest, flattest, driest inhabited.
I don't know. China.
It's Australia.
It's Australia. Is it a continent? I don't know what's happening, but apparently I'm unstable. And you're talking about Keith Barron on the continent. it got a bit confused.
Yes, he's on the continent.
The answer to your first question was
it broke the internet. It was Australia. Yes, that was the answer. Well done. Right. Next one. What is the highest grossing Australian film of all time? Cliff?
Strictly Ballroom?
No, it's not Strictly Ballroom. Would you like another guess? You can have one, Cliff.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'm going to make another guess then. And that guess is going to be, is it the Ned Kelly one with Heath Ledger in it? Not the Mick Jagger one.
What, the one that's called Ned Kelly?
Yeah, that one.
No, it's not. It's Crocodile Dundee, of course.
Oh, is that Australian? Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
and I'd also
Australian.
Forgotten about it.
Yeah, you kind of forget about Crocodile Dundee.
We should watch that.
I know, it'll be interesting to see back, wouldn't it? I haven't seen it in, obviously, since I was a kid. I've had no need to watch that since I was a kid.
No, but when did the third one come out? I think I went to the cinema to see a third one when I worked there.
Really? When did that come out? In the 90s?
And it must have been like 2000 or something, and he obviously was ancient. Paul Hogan was about fucking 60 in the first one.
Was he justified in ancient as well, was he? Not that good. Right. Next one, in a similar vein, what is the best selling album in Australia of all time?
In Australia or from an Australian artist?
Just in Australia.
So it can be from anybody anywhere.
It can be from anybody anywhere. It doesn't have to be an Australian artist, but this is the best selling album in Australia ever. What do you think that is? Now, obviously, it's going to be quite a popular one, a one that we've heard of.
I think is it Spice, the Spice Girls' first album?
It's not, unfortunately, no. It's Battle of Hell by The Meatloaf.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah. 25 times platinum, apparently.
Nobody knows what that means, but sounds good.
I don't know what it means, but yeah. So
sold
there you
lot.
Go. It sold
maybe
quite
they
a lot.
Increase the number of what platinum means.
Yeah, maybe so they should just tell people what it means. That would be better, wouldn't it? Right. Can you name the throwing stick with the aerodynamic properties traditionally made of wood?
Is it a boomerang?
It is. It well done. Well done. Hey, your knowledge of Australia, it's deep, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
An advert from which drink proclaimed, I can see the pub from here?
Oh, Foster's.
No.
No?
It's not Foster's.
What is it?
Do you want another guess? I don't actually think you can get this drink anymore. Or at least I haven't seen it.
An Australian lager?
Yeah.
But that is Foster's? I don't know. What is it?
It's Castlemaine 4X.
Castlemaine 4X.
Castlemaine. Have you ever seen that in the shops? At the off door, have you?
Nah.
No, I haven't either.
Can't remember it at all. Just know. Yeah.
I bet they're still getting Gurnham's, though.
Yeah, probably still full price. Harp as well.
That's Harp. Another one. I'm sure I've had Harp. Yeah,
I think they came back in the 90s or something. I remember drinking it. For a laugh.
Uh-huh. What's the name of that? Is it Scotch?
McEwan's
the bloke with the beard. Aye. Like, I like the look of him. I like him.
What was another one that we used to get that you can't get anymore? Labatt's. Can you get that?
Labatt's. I don't think you can get Labatt's.
That's a shame. I think that's probably the biggest shame of all of them.
You can still get
Facts. There was a Labatt's Ice as well.
Was there?
Mm-hmm.
You can get Facts, though, can't you?
You can still get Facts, of course.
Yeah, because if you couldn't get Facts, that was
always going to be a market for 1.5 litre cans of bad lager.
Yeah. And so they should be, Cliff. So they should be. Mm-hmm. Right, where I'm up to now. Oh, yes, this one. Which actor asked Neighbours producer not to put him in scenes with Bouncer as he did not like dogs?
Okay. Is he just a general Neighbours actor, or is it somebody that's gone on to better things?
All of them have gone on to better things in Neighbours, surely, haven't they? They're all bloody famous. So, yes, he is famous, this particular fella.
Is it Craig McLachlan?
No. Remember when he brought his guitar out?
Yes, of course. I'm just going to go through all the musicians.
Well, this fella does play the guitar as well. I'm sure you've sent us tracks by him and stuff.
Okay, so it's our good friend, Mike from Neighbours. Guy Pearce.
No, it is. It's Guy Pearce. Yes, it is.
Okay,
that's terrible, isn't it? That's apparently source. I just didn't like them.
I heard that's why he hasn't come around yours.
that's one of the reasons. Also, he put a football through my window, so I'm not particularly friendly with him. There's that reason as well.
Fair enough.
So, yes, Guy Pearce didn't really like dogs, but in rehearsing, because I don't rehearse anything, but in looking at that question, I was reading that in Neighbours, there's a dream sequence that the dog
an
Bouncer
episode?
Has.
Full yeah, episode, a whole episode. Bouncer's dream.
Yeah, that just sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Yeah. We should watch it. Let's do that for the next episode. Bouncer's Dream.
Do you think we'll be able to find it?
Surely that exists on YouTube. It's like, it's infamous.
Is the dog just like going to like doing that running thing? You know, that when dogs are asleep.
You know, he like goes, he's got like a shirt and tie on and that, going to work and stuff.
And he's in PE and he's got no run.
No, yeah. Uh-huh. That's not true. But let me have a look, see if I can find it. YouTube, Bouncer's Dream Neighbours.
But we've got no context for it.
Bouncer's iconic dream. Oh, it's just a scene, apparently.
Is it?
Thought it was a full episode. But there's, I'm sure it's long enough. Can you hear this?
Yeah, what?
I'm just playing a video and I forgot that we're recording. No, so I didn't know whether you could hear it or not. Okay.
It's so not, Bouncer's it's iconic dirty dream. Films, is it, Cliff?
No, it's just fucking dream.
Are you sure?
Oh, there he is, Mark Little he's in it. He's getting married.
Is that the one who went on to be a comedian? and went on to kind be of, in the
yeah.
Big
he's
Breakfast.
On the Big Breakfast, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, he's loving it. Oh, this is amazing. Yeah, we definitely he's got a little dog friend. He's got a bow tie on. I think he's getting married.
The dog's getting married. Dogs don't have dreams like that, surely, do they?
He's got a bow tie on for some reason.
Yeah. They'll just be dreaming about shagging, I don't know, rabbits or something. That's what
he's definitely getting married, isn't it?
Didn't he get run over? Because he couldn't find anything about when he got run over. Someone reversed the car and ran him over or something, didn't
they? That's awful. Oh, he's having a...
I know.
But
I couldn't find out who it was because that was going to be the question.
Okay, who ran him over?
Who ran Bouncer
Luke Carpenter?
Yeah, perhaps. So that's Australia. All
right.
For you.
I think I got everyone right.
I think you did. Yes. What a wonderful country it is, or continent, as we found out.
Right. Okay then.
We'll have music as well, don't we?
We do have music. It's by somebody called Violent Vicky.
It certainly is.
Very alluring.
It's incredibly alluring, isn't it? This is dark synth from sunny Florida, Cliff.
Oh, from That's Florida. What this is. I'm a big fan of it.
Big fan of Florida. Is that a continent? Let's just say yes.
Yep.
Well, it will be when the earthquakes happen.
Yep, it will be. I think this is great. I don't know where you... how you managed to secure this one, but well done on you.
No problem. It's called Get to Me.
It's a remix?
It's a remix. It is indeed a remix.
Okay. Do we know the remixer?
Do we know the remixer?
Yeah. Is that what they're called?
I don't know what it's called. Could be called that, but the answer to that is no.
Okay. Well, here we go with Violent Vicky.
Yes.
Get to me. Enjoy
Remixed.
It. Listen to it and enjoy it. And then come back for Bouncer's Dream next time. Where we'll spin out an hour on a 2-minute sequence from a 2-minute.
Wonderful stuff.
Right. Okay. Lovely to see you, Brett. Thanks for your chat. And we'll speak to everyone next time. See you.
Bye.